السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا مرحبا. A warm and hearty welcome to the program Friday Fusion with me, Zakira Ansarmia. Yes, it is the last Friday of Ramadan. It's with a very heavy heart that we do enter this last few hours of the month of Ramadan. You know, subhanAllah, I was just thinking this morning as preparing for this program that not so long ago, on a Friday, I sat preparing for a program thinking to myself, it is just a few hours until we get into the month of Ramadan. And before we know it, the month of Ramadan has come and it's flown right by. Now, subhanAllah, we can be those that could sit in these last few hours that we have of Ramadan, just a day or 2 days or perhaps even three that we have left of the month of Ramadan, and we could be those that are just roughing around doing our last minute things for Eid. And yes, everybody has family time and you want to get together on the day of Eid and have all these nice little things and have nice clothes for the kids and all of that. But subhanAllah, as much as these are, this is a time where we're supposed to have everything in readiness, it's also a time where we should be reflecting and asking ourselves, am I going to be able to see another Ramadan? Will I have another Ramadan next year? Or could this be my last Ramadan possibly? And if this question does penetrate our souls, then we will only have one answer, and that is no. None of us know whether we will have another Ramadan. Hence, we ought to be making the most of these last moments of the month of Ramadan. You know, our pious predecessors, they had a habit of constantly being in istighfar after they did any other good action. So this is also a great time, these last few days of Ramadan, make constant istighfar, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept whatever a'mal we have done, because we don't know if any of our a'mal has been accepted anyway. So make a lot of istighfar, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for acceptance, just one odd night left tonight, try and make the most of this last odd night that we have left. Some may have completed the Quran on the 27th night, others may be completed it tonight. It's also a moment of dua whenever it's time for completion of Quran. So, you know, cry and beg and, you know, go out there and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as though this could be your last moments of making dua. So really, these are moments. This is a time now that we have the tail end of Ramadan, the last little bit of what is left of our Ramadan, that we ought to be giving it that one last push. I know that by this time in Ramadan, we're fatigued, we're tired. You know, we're feeling like, you know, that the early mornings and the late nights, all that is really setting in right now. You know, the fatigue of it all is really setting in right now. And we're looking forward to a little bit of a downtime, perhaps a day or two's rest before we get into our Shawwal fast again, inshallah. But this should be a time where we should be rearing and you know, ready to give it our most in this last one or two nights. Because we know we have one odd night left tonight, and then it is mentioned that anyone who prays on the night that precedes Eid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep his heart alive on that night, on that day when all other hearts will die, and that is on the day of Qiyamah. So, you know, these are moments of real intense ibadah that we ought to give it our all, so that inshallah we can gain the maximum benefits of what's left of Ramadan, and inshallah, once Ramadan is over, we can take a few days to, you know, rest, sleep in a little bit, do things a little bit differently in terms of our schedule. We won't have to wake up that early for suhoor anymore, so get a little bit extra sleep there, perhaps go to bed earlier a little bit every night because there won't be taraweeh. But all the other actions that we have got into the habit of doing this month of Ramadan, like the Quran tilawa, like the extra salahs, etc., let's try now in these last few days of Ramadan to start planning ourselves. That's exactly what we're supposed to be doing. And subhanAllah, I was listening to Mufti Kamaluddin a day or two ago, and I found something so profound in what he said there. He said that this is a time now that we ought to be building ourselves a schedule, or you know, putting together a schedule for ourselves for the rest of the year. So alhamdulillah, if you manage reading like 3 or 5 ajza of Quran, paras of Quran for a day in the month of Ramadan, ask yourself now, with work and everything back to normal, how many am I going to be able to read? If not as many as in Ramadan, then at least set yourself a good goal, a good target, like, okay, I'm going to ensure that I read one every day, one complete juz every day, so in a month I am able to do one khatam every month, inshallah. If I was praying my 5 daily salah and tahajjud and fast and awabin and tarawih, alhamdulillah, now out of Ramadan, things get a little bit more hectic, work and all the rest of that, I must at least pray my 5 daily salah on time, with jama'ah, punctually, right? And then if I can manage just one nafal salah, then choose which one. Start off with tahajjud perhaps, and then from there, because now we're still in the winter month, so tahajjud is a very easy one. And then perhaps from there, inshallah, as the year goes along, add in chast, add in awabin. So that by the time we come to the next Ramadan, next year, we're in the groove. We haven't lost it all. And that tends to happen every year. You know, we're so geared up when it's Ramadan, but then slowly what tends to happen, it all slips away. And by the time we come to Rajab and Sha'ban next year, what are we left with? We're left with almost nothing. We don't have anything to show from our past Ramadan. So this is also a time in these last few days for us to fervently beg of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, this ibadah pattern that I've built up for myself in this month of Ramadan, let me not let it all slide after Ramadan. I've become a better person. Let me keep this better person that I am. I have, you know, been restraining my tongue. I've been beautifying my akhlaq. I've been doing all these things in Ramadan. Oh Allah, let me keep these character traits and let me not lose them after the month of Ramadan is gone. So inshallah, we're going to be speaking about all that and much more. Let's go for our first ad break of the hour, inshallah. When we return, I tell you a little bit more of what you can expect in the remainder of the program. Before the ad break, we were speaking about what we should be doing and what we can do in these last few days that we have left of Ramadan, alhamdulillah. And as you know, normally we start off the program with a new segment. And today is no different. We will be doing that in a few moments after I tell you what you can expect in the program. So starting off will be the new segment. Unfortunately, Laika cannot be with us live today. She has, however, left you a news scoop recording as well as a lovely Eid message. Thereafter, we will have our main segment of the program, which is our female masail, and today we will be discussing fidya or fitra, which one is it? So, if you're a little bit confused about which one do we pay, as, you know, people who are fasting, what do you need to pay? And if you miss out some fast, what is it that you ought to be paying? So, you're a little confused about the two terminologies. Both sound very similar. Which one is which? Well, we're going to be discussing that in our female masail segment. And then to wrap up our program, we have our mini drama series, Excuse Me, I'd Like to Make a Scene. And as you've come to know that on the program Friday Fusion, each Friday we give away a gift. Yes, alhamdulillah, compliments of Umi Yusuf, the author of this book. And the gift, the book that we give away, is a book entitled A Diary for a Muslim Woman. It's a lovely little diary in which you could keep track of all your qada fast, your qada salah. You could also keep track of your zakah payments on a yearly basis, as well as an Islamic will. You may be able to use this diary for around 5 years. It is available at all leading bookstores in South Africa. And this diary also comes with a FAQ on Hayd, Nifas and Istihada. So the frequently asked questions on Hayd, Nifas and Istihada. A lovely little gift to give to someone for the occasion of Eid, or even if you just like to purchase yourself one, that would also be a nice little purchase. But if you do not want to purchase one and if you'd like to win one, then yes, you most likely could do that. You could call in, and inshallah we will open the lines after the second ad break. So not right now, don't call in right now. We will open the lines after 2:30, inshallah, after the second ad break. And then you could call in and you could answer a simple question and you could win yourself a you could win yourself a diary. Today's question is totally unrelated to the diary. Alhamdulillah, a few weeks in a row we've been asking diary questions. Today I have a totally unrelated question. So I'm asking, if you were listening to Friday Fusion over the past few weeks, today Laika is going to be speaking about Kuwaiti traditions. If you could tell me one other country that she spoke about in the weeks that have passed. So there were one, two, three other weeks, and she spoke about three different countries. If you could tell me one other country's traditions, Ramadan traditions, that is, that she spoke about in weeks that have passed. Alhamdulillah, two or three weeks now, I've also managed to put up the podcast of her news segment on my social media pages. So if you didn't listen to it on the program, you could have listened to it over there. So that's the question for today. What were the other countries that she spoke about? I don't want you to name all, just one. So yes, after 2:30, call in and you could be a winner of a diary for a Muslim woman. For now though, stay tuned. It's that informal scoop with Laika Idris. And as I said, today she speaks Kuwaiti traditions.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Keeping in line with our Ramadan traditions around the world, today we're speaking Kuwait. Ramadan is a time of piety and prayers, fasting and feasting, and spending time with family and friends. But as is often the case, every nation and community develops a set of traditions and customs over the ages that come to symbolize the culture of the land. Kuwait too has its own Ramadan traditions that have been observed by generations of locals and residents of this country and are a source of comfort and belonging. But Kuwait's rapid transformation from a sleepy fishing and pearl diving backwater to an affluent modern state has also turned many local traditions on their head, while some quietly disappeared. Zak al-Haris, which is the crushing of wheat, was a pre-Ramadan tradition in Old Kuwait where a family bought large amounts of wheat that was crushed by a skilled woman accompanied by folk singing. The Abu Zubayla no longer walks the streets of the neighborhood with his drum to wake people up for suhoor. Nevertheless, a few of Kuwait's rich traditions of Ramadan have stood the passage of time, continuously evolving to reflect changing social and financial developments. Graish is the traditional pre-Ramadan feast when family members and even neighbors gather before the onset of the fasting month. In the olden days, the woman of the house would empty the larders of their house of foods that are not usually eaten in Ramadan. These days, the food is usually ordered from restaurants and the gatherings are smaller, but the tradition continues. Among Kuwaiti Ramadan traditions, Girgiyan is one of the most popular and the most evolved. Girgiyan is marked on the 13th, 14th and 15th of Ramadan when children go trick-or-treating to collect candies and nuts door-to-door. The full moon would provide illumination for the children to trudge across the neighborhood. A ghakba is a gathering of family and friends on the evenings of Ramadan. Kuwaiti tables have retained their various dishes over the decades that are passed on from generation to generation. The most important among these dishes, which is found at every meal in Kuwait, is al-haris. It is made of mashed wheat with meat, to which a mixture of sugar and clarified butter with ground cinnamon is added before serving. Another popular dish that is served at iftar in every household is at-tashrib, which is a yeast bread cut into small pieces with gravy containing curd, potatoes and dry lemons from Oman. Special sweets are made in Kuwait during Ramadan. The most popular among them is lukmat al-qadi, which is made from milk, cardamom, butter, saffron and fermented dough cut into small bite-sized balls and fried in boiling fat, which is then placed in sugar syrup or molasses. What distinguishes the Kuwaiti desserts in Ramadan is their sweet taste and rich aroma, as they are made of fragrant and flavorful spices. They also have delicious coffee, which is made from boiled saffron and a little sugar. The Hajj prayers during the last 10 nights of Ramadan are observed in most mosques across the state, but the popularity of Qiyam al-Layl prayers has skyrocketed in the past decade, with the Grand Mosque having the most amount of people. Thousands attend the nightly prayers daily, with well over 100,000 worshippers converging on Kuwait's largest mosque on the night of the 27th of Ramadan. As they say, the only thing constant in this world is change, and Ramadan traditions are no exceptions. Customs may have died, but the spirit of this holy month is alive and thriving. And this brings us to the wrap on the informal scoop Ramadan extravaganza with me, Laika Idris. I hope that you enjoyed listening as much as I have enjoyed sharing traditions across the world. On that note, I wish you all a very warm and joyous Eid al-Fitr. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yes, and that you have there was a wrap from Laika Idris. Today she spoke about Kuwaiti traditions, and as it has been every single week, it's a little bit of a hunger buster, no? And yeah, alhamdulillah, that was, we brought to you a few cities. We brought to you in the first week Egypt, in the second week Palestine, in the second week Turkey, in the third week Palestine, and today Kuwait. And I think in the middle of all this there was Saudi Arabia as well, somewhere there. So yes, to move on then, today inshallah in our female Messiah segment, we're going to be speaking fidya and fitra. So what exactly is the difference between fidya and fitra? Fitra, also known as sadaqatul fitr, is what we ought to be paying. When I say we, I mean every single person that has fasted is ought to be paying before the month of Ramadan comes to an end. And the reason we share the sadaqatul fitr is because we want those who have less than us to be able to have the same type of happy Eid meal that we are going to have. So, sumptuous Eid meal rather, and have a joyous and happy day of Eid. That is why we pay Sadaqatul Fitr. So that is what Fitra is all about. Fidya, and that is in a simplified manner if I were to explain it. Fidya, on the other hand, is what a person ought to be paying that missed out any fast due to the fact that they had some illness. And let's clarify this one. If a person missed out a fast due to perhaps a flu or something like that, and the person is to recover from it, and the person knows full well that they will be able to make the qadha of it, then they will have to make the qadha, and paying fidya is not allowed. So fidya will only be for such a person who knows that they will not be able to make up this fast themselves by performing the qadha, and then for such a person the fidya will be able to be paid for every meal, for every fast rather, a certain amount is taken out, the amount that it would take to feed a person, right? So, what is the status of Sadaqatul Fitr? Is it wajib or is it sunnah? The status of Sadaqatul Fitr is wajib. And Sadaqatul Fitr is wajib, is necessary on every Muslim who has the value of nisab on the day of Eid after subtracting his debt. Should Sadaqatul Fitr also be paid on behalf of minors? Yes, Sadaqatul Fitr will have to be discharged on behalf of minors by their guardians. If they don't have their own savings, then it could be, if they do have their own savings rather, then it would be best for Sadaqatul Fitr to be discharged from their own savings. To whom should the Sadaqatul Fitr be given? Well, the Sadaqatul Fitr should be given to those who do not have the nisab of zakat, so who are zakatable, to all those people whom you can give zakat to and who are considered underprivileged and poor. When should it be discharged? Well, Sadaqatul Fitr should be discharged before the day of Eid comes, so that the people who are underprivileged, the less fortunate, can go out and buy themselves things to be able to make a meal for themselves, to prepare that sumptuous Eid meal for themselves as well. Does Sadaqatul Fitr necessarily have to be given in cash? No, it doesn't. Actually, if a person is capable of buying the food ingredients to the value of Sadaqatul Fitr, then they should do this and give it to someone who is underprivileged or less fortunate to prepare a meal on the day of Eid. the amount for Hanafi is 20 rand this year, and the amount for Shafi'i is about 28 rand. What is the significance of Sadaqatul Fitr? Sadaqatul Fitr is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and an opportunity to ease the plight of those in need and allow them, as I mentioned before, to have just as a sumptuous and a delightful and a joyous, happy Eid, a sumptuous meal on this day as we do. What is the consequence for those who do not discharge the Sadaqatul Fitr? Well, it is mentioned by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in At-Targhib that the fast remains suspended between the heavens and the earth of a person who does not discharge his Sadaqatul Fitr. And the best method of discharging Sadaqatul Fitr would be, what is the best method rather? Should I give it to an organization or should I discharge it individually? Well, it is preferable to seek out a needy person of your own and hand it to them personally. However, it must also be that you give it to a person whom it is permissible to give it to, and that it is given timeously. What is the position, rather, of my Sadaqatul Fitr if I handed it to an organization and they did not discharge it at the prescribed time? Well, by you giving the Sadaqatul Fitr to the organization, you have made them your wakil and representative. And now, if they have not discharged it timeously, which they should, but if they haven't, your Sadaqatul Fitr will be discharged, and your obligation would have been discharged. It is, however, advisable that you query from them and find out if it has been discharged timeously. And if up till now you have not discharged your Sadaqatul Fitr, then you still have a day or 2 days before Eid, inshallah, and you should try and do it as soon as possible. So that, my dear listeners, is what Sadaqatul Fitr is all about, what it is, how much you have to give, and where you need to give it, and to whom, etc. If you need to hear this again, then you can listen to the podcast of the program this evening. It will be put up by Sister Rukeya on the website, under the podcast section, under my name, Zakira and Samia, so you can listen to it there. We're now going to go for our second ad break of the hour. When we return, inshallah, the lines will be open, so you can call in and you can win yourself a copy of the book, A Diary for a Muslim Woman, after the ad break. Yes, welcome back to the program. It is Friday Fusion indeed, and you're with me, Zakira and Samia. Alhamdulillah, the engineer tells me that our listeners are very, very proactive this afternoon, and we already have a caller online. So just to remind you why this caller is online, we're giving away a diary of a Muslim woman this afternoon, as we have done over the past 4 Fridays in the month of Ramadan, alhamdulillah, or rather over the past 3 Fridays. Today is the 4th Friday of Ramadan, that we are giving away a diary of a Muslim woman, courtesy of the author, Umm Yusuf, and Radio Islam International, Friday Fusion in particular. So let's take that caller and let's see if she has our answer for us and if we can make her a winner. And then I'll share with you some sentiments of our last week's winner, inshallah. So let's go to the lines. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Sister, how are you this afternoon?
Hello, can you hear me very clearly?
Can you hear me, sister? How are you?
Alhamdulillah.
You're well, alhamdulillah, that's lovely. Where are you calling us from, sister?
Northern Natal.
KwaZulu-Natal, lovely, yes. Mashallah. You want to be more specific and tell us where exactly in KwaZulu-Natal?
Dannhauser.
Dannhauser, wow, mashallah. Okay, sister, let's not keep you too long. Tell us, do you have the answer to our question this afternoon?
Yes.
What is the answer?
Palestine.
Palestine, mashallah. Well, the engineer is telling me that we have 3 more callers online. But you know what? I'm sorry. The sister has the correct answer, and we're going to have to make her a winner. So the rest of you, it's really, really sweet of you to all have taken the opportunity and called in. But you know what? The diary is also available for sale at your nearest bookstores. So go in, inshallah, and get yourself a copy. To the sister, please give your details to the engineer before you get off the line, and congratulations to you on having won yourself a copy of the book, A Diary for a Muslim Woman. Jazakallah khair for calling into Friday Fusion.
Jazakallah for your lovely program. It was extremely nice.
Barakallah feek. All right, and there we go. We've made the sister a winner there, from sister from Denhauser. She's won herself a copy of A Diary for a Muslim Woman. And sister, I hope you're leaving your details there with engineer before you leave. To the other callers that called in, I do apologize. Every week we can only make one person a winner, unfortunately. And as much as we'd love to make all of you winners and give away a whole lot of copies of the diary, there's only a certain amount that we can give away each week, and we've chosen to give away just one each week. But alhamdulillah, it's very heartwarming to know that there are so many of you listening to the program and willing to participate in our competitions that we run. Perhaps an idea then is to run a competition every week of the program, because this is the only way I get callers to call in when I give things away. Well, if you'd like to sponsor anything on the program, let us know something that's, that would be good to team up with our female Masail segment, inshallah. Let us know. Perhaps we could get more callers calling in and we could make more people winners. I actually feel really bad in this month of Ramadan to have to only, to have to turn away our other three callers. But nevertheless, it was the first person that called in that gave the correct answer that we could make a winner. Let's move on then, inshallah. We were speaking about what exactly fidya and fitra is all about. So if you've understood the whole concept of fidya, which alhamdulillah, let me repeat that. If you've understood the whole concept of fitra, which I explained a few minutes ago, also known as sadaqatul fitr, then alhamdulillah, that is, and if you still haven't understood it, that is, then you could always go to my Facebook page, Zakira Ansarmia, and you will find it there, inshallah. I have put up the Q&A on my Facebook page. So inshallah, visit the Facebook page and you'll understand more about fitra or sadaqatul fitr. What is fidya, we were asking? So fidya is when someone is not able to fast in Ramadan and cannot make it up afterwards, right? And that's primarily because they have some health issue that is so pressing, that is like an ongoing health issue. So that is why they will not be able to make it up. For such a person, they will then be able to pay out fidya. What is fidya? It's normally at a rate at about 10 rands per day for every day that is missed. And this should provide one person with two meals or two persons with one meal. Now, I think 10 rand is a minimal amount, which I should say between 10 and 15 rand to provide a person, as I said, one person two meals for the day, or two people one meal each for the day. And this is for someone who has missed out their fast in Ramadan for some reason. Now, for a lady who is pregnant, for a lady who is expecting a baby, the lady who is expecting a baby is not necessarily someone who feels that she will not be able to fast these fasts again, and hence she can pay the fidya. Please do not misunderstand this. This is for someone who is terminally ill, who really has an illness that is so severe that they know they're not going to recuperate from it again. That's number one. And secondly, if this person does happen to recuperate from this illness that they thought was terminal, even then, subhanallah, after having paid the fidya, they will still have to make qada. If they've recovered to such an extent that they are now healthy and well again, they will have to make the qada of whatever fast they have missed. So please, this is not like a blanket ruling on saying that, okay, fine, you didn't fast, so yeah, just pay the fidya and carry on. For those who did not fast, it was just because of a flu or a cold or something like that, or you are on safar and you are allowed to not fast when you are on safar, depending on the difficulty of the journey, then you will first need to make the qada. That is the rule of thumb. Only for a person who is terminally ill, that is when the person will then be able to give fidya. Okay, we have just a few minutes left, inshallah, and I did tell you that I'm going to share with you what our listener who won, or at least our winner of last week's diary, what she said about having won the diary and how she feels. So this is what she said. She says, just want to say Jazakallah to Radio Islam and the author of the diary, A Diary for a Muslim Woman, Sister Ummi Yusuf, for having this amazing competition. I really love this diary as it really helps us to record our hajj and nifas as well as qada salah and qada fas. I must say that this diary is an excellent initiative as it has everything in one. And it makes it really easy to record because in the older days, people used to write it on pieces of paper or mark it on calendars, which makes the diary really convenient because at times you cannot locate the little pieces of paper or even on the calendar markings are indistinguishable after a while. So may Allah Ta'ala grant Umi Yusuf the greatest of rewards and take her from strength to strength for her amazing efforts. And yes, that's basically what the sister had to say there, that the sister who won the diary last week. And we say Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen to all those lovely du'as that she made there. And yes, definitely it is a great initiative, and it's also the generosity of the author that we are able to bring to you this lovely competition. Okay then, my dear listeners, it is time for me, Zakira and Sermia, to sign off for this month of Ramadan. We will, inshallah, meet again. And when we meet again, it will be out of the month of Ramadan. And really, as I said in the beginning of the program, it's with a heavy heart that we've come to this point in Ramadan. You know, we've been so looking forward to the month of Ramadan. It's almost like, you know, when you're looking forward to go to a certain holiday destination and you plan for it weeks and months in advance sometimes, you know, and you buy particular clothing because perhaps the temperatures are going to be and the weather patterns are going to be a little different from where you normally live, and you know, you pack your suitcases with such precision and all of this gets done, and you prepare meals for the trip and you do all these kind of elaborate arrangements, and then the trip comes. SubhanAllah, when it comes, it goes by in such a flash that before you know it, you're back on your mode of transport, be it the plane or be it if you've taken a ship cruise or be it a car, if you've gone there by car, you know, by land travel. So once again, before you know it, you're back in your mode of transport and you're heading back home. And yes, there are memories. Yes, there are happy moments. But at the same time, there's this feeling of nostalgia, there's this feeling of sadness, there's this feeling that, you know what, I should have visited one or two more places, or I should have made a little bit more, I should have made better use of my holiday a little bit more, I should have slept less and gone more touring, or whatever it may be, right? And this is always how we feel when we're coming back from a holiday. And Ramadan sometimes pretty much feels like this, you know. It's with a heavy heart that we leave in these last few days, that we leave Ramadan. And in these last few days, that is how it feels. You know, we made these elaborate arrangements for Ramadan. We planned in Rajab and in Shaban how we were going to spend this Ramadan. We wrote up schedules for ourselves. We drew up planners for ourselves, how much time we're going to spend in the kitchen and how we're going to minimize all of that so that we can do most of so that we can make the most of our ibadah, and we've done all of this. And really, now that we've come to this tail end of Ramadan, for some of us, it feels as though we've tried, but we just didn't get there. And really, the fact that you tried, subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful. And again, you know, I was telling you, I heard that clip of Mufti Kamaluddin. He said something so phenomenal there. He said, oh my dear listeners, and you know, whoever is listening to me, and this clip is like circulated all over the world, so he was speaking to all his murideen all across the world, and he said, remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and let me leave you with this, you know, one small little piece of hope for this tail end of the month of Ramadan, because many a female I know will perhaps be feeling like this, that I thought I would do so much more, but you know, with the responsibilities, when everything comes about, you don't get to do as much as you thought you would be able to, because of family responsibilities, either the children or the husband or whatever it may be, or you may have an old and ailing and sickly person at home that you needed to take care of, whatever it may have been. But when the family responsibilities came about, unfortunately, you couldn't do as much as you thought you would be able to do. So what happened then? What happened was that you were not able to give it your most. You were not able to do what you thought you would be able to do. So he says so beautifully, and he says, never ever forget the hadith Qudsi, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنَّ عَبْدِي بِ. I am with my servant. I will give my servant according to his expectations of me. I am with my servant with his expectations of me. In other words, I will give him according to what he expects of me. So if my servant expects of me that I am going to give him full rewards because he has really made the full effort, despite the fact that he didn't reach his goals, but he's put his all into it, then I will give him his full in terms of reward. And then on a final note to end off, as I was saying, that when we return from the holiday, you know, we have those one or two exciting memories or those one or two happy memories, peaceful moments that we may have had in our holiday, joyous moments that we may have had in our holiday, relaxing moments, whatever it may be. But it's a memory that you have, and no one can take that away from you for life. Let it be like this in Ramadan. Let it be that we have these special moments that, you know, you remember how you cried your heart out on the 27th night of Ramadan. Or you remember how you sat, you know, in early hours of the morning and the whole household was quiet. Your husband and your kids were sleeping and everything was just peaceful and still. And you just had this one-on-one with Allah. And you had this dialogue with Allah. And you poured your heart out to Allah. Or let it be that, you know, that moment of Khatamul Quran where you stood and, you know, after the Imam completed his Khatamul Quran and you made that dua. And really in that dua, you cried and you asked Allah for your everything. So take these happy moments with you out of Ramadan into your daily life and try to keep these moments with you so that your everyday becomes like a day that you spent in the month of Ramadan. My engineer tells me that we have very little time left. We still have to play out our mini drama and we have an ad left. So I am going to love and leave you until we meet again outside of Ramadan next week, inshallah. I do ask you to remember me in your special du'as from myself and my family to you and your family. A blessed Eid. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all your good deeds and your ibadah in the month of Ramadan. And may you have a joyous and peaceful day, inshallah. Fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.